I'm going to call the meeting to order. First item on the agenda would be the Pledge of Allegiance. I would like to ask Commissioner Hill to lead us in that.
Vice Chair.
Please salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first item I usually do is read a few rules and procedures. So let me just summarize that now. And I think most of you have been here before, but I want you to know that everyone will be given an opportunity to be heard. When it's your turn to speak, please come to the podium, state your name and address for the record. Those in favor of an application will be heard first, then those opposed will be given the opportunity to speak. After that, the applicant will be given the time for rebuttal, and if necessary, someone opposed will be given the opportunity to surrebut. We ask that you limit your presentations to 5 minutes or less. The chair has the right to reserve to limit testimony, and will exercise that right in the interest of others who have business before the commission. After all the speakers have been heard, the hearing will be closed. At that point, additional comments from the public will not be allowed unless one of the commissioners asks that the hearing be reopened. Finally, the commissioners will discuss the application, make motions, and vote to reach a decision. If you're not satisfied with the commission's decision, you may be able to appeal the decision to the Board of Supervisors. Appeals must be filed within a specified period of time after today's hearing, and you can check with staff for the procedures to follow in filing your appeal. Please make sure your mobile phones and pagers are on mute. Thank you. Okay, having done the Pledge of Allegiance, the next item is roll call.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Yes, here.
Vice Chair Hill?
Here.
Commissioner Arabian?
Here.
Commissioner Carver is absent. Commissioner Chatha?
Here.
Commissioner Ewell?
Here.
Commissioner Wolf?
Here.
Commissioner Zante?
Here.
And with a big welcome, Commissioner Quist.
I echo those comments. Welcome, Commissioner Quist. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. We do have an item on the consent agenda, there is a note from staff that it has been postponed, but I would like to ask staff, understand correctly, you want that to a date certain?
Correct. It'll be to October 26th meeting.
I'm sorry, which?
To the October 26th Planning Commission meeting.
Okay, so I think it'd be proper for us to have a motion. First, let me ask, was there anyone here to speak on that item?
Commissioner, you have one person that needs to say something before you do that.
Yes.
I need to recuse myself from this item, given my family's holdings in the Millerton Newtown specific plan.
Okay. We'll see you for the next item then. Okay, again, is there anyone that was here for that item? Okay, seeing none, Chair will entertain a motion to continue this item to the October 26th meeting.
I'll move to continue the item to the October 26th meeting.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Zante and a second by Commissioner Arabian to postpone to the October 26th meeting. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0 with Commissioner Ewell recusing himself. Okay, now under the regular agenda, we have first item is public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons desiring to address the commission on any matter within our jurisdiction, but not on today's agenda. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to do that? Okay, seeing none, we'll go to item number 2.
Regular agenda item number 2, conduct workshop regarding the general plan review and comprehensive zoning ordinance update, including the proposed revisions to the general plan policy document and reformatting and revisions to the county zoning ordinance.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the Planning Commission. Chris Mata with the Department of Public Works and Planning. Today's workshop is really intended to meet the Commission's request for a workshop on the General Plan Review Zoning Ordinance update prior to bringing it before you for a decision and recommendation. It also will reintroduce documents distributed to the Commission in April of this year and provide a brief history of the project, something that originally began as a five-year review in the General Plan in 2006. We hope to discuss key general plan changes, what has remained, and again, what has changed, update the Commission on staff's activities since the April release, provide the opportunity for the Commission to ask questions, give the Commission an idea of what to expect when the item is brought for action. And I do want to note that the General Plan Review Zoning Ordinance does consist of a general plan amendment, amendment to text to the zoning ordinance, and a small area of rezoning for a small area of the county to rezone from AE to the AL district. And I can go into that in more detail later as we go through the discussion. But I do have a fairly brief presentation that's prepared, but I do want to give ample time because this is for you and this is an opportunity for you to ask questions. And I have all the documents electronically loaded so I can, you know, if we want to look at something, I can bring it up on the screen.
Were there any questions at this time? Thanks.
General Plan Review and Zoning Ordinance Update really consists of five key documents: the General Plan Policy Document, the Background Report, the Draft Program EIR, and the Draft Zoning Ordinance, and then the Final Program EIR, which will be provided to you later at the time when we ask for a recommendation to be made. That final EIR will consist of response to comments, as well as any errata that we're going to have or updates that we need, minor modifications we need to make as we've gone through this process, will also be included with that document when we bring it back. The documents have been distributed to the Commission other than the final EIR. The policy document and zoning ordinance have been provided as a hard copy. The others are electronically on a CD and available on our county website. As I indicated, the first four were released to the public back in April this year. Yes. Wait a minute.
He's eating donuts.
Thank you for noticing.
Yeah.
You didn't tell me there are donuts back there.
Do you left some for us already?
Okay. Key changes regarding the general plan and zoning ordinance documents, really for the general plan, it will extend the planning period to 2042. Our existing general plan was adopted in the year 2000, October of 2000, actually. It adds an environmental justice element, which is mandated by state law. Also provides improvements to the safety element based on climate hazards, vulnerability, and emergency evacuation. Also some improvements related to air quality with additional analysis and policies. Address some of the issues related to air quality. It updates, augments, and improves the existing general plan policies and deletes obsolete policies. It also adds a reference to two future study areas. One is a business industrial campus, which is located about southeast of the city of Fresno, and then a proposed development near the Kings River Trimmer Springs area for a residential institutional type of facility. Both of those are the study areas. There's no action or environmental work being done on that. That'll come as a separate action document applications. For the zoning ordinance, we're looking at reformatting and modernizing the ordinance with tables, diagrams, and graphics, add flexibility for the director's determination on certain items, and also provide for temporary use permits, something that doesn't exist right now, and address prior zoning ordinance ambiguities and state-mandated requirements for accessory dwelling units and objective design standards for multifamily development. The ordinance that we're using now was really adopted in the early 1960s. So this is a major renovation of the ordinance, and there is a graphic provided in your workshop agenda item that kind of shows where the sections of the ordinance have migrated to from the existing ordinance to the new ordinance update. And I have that available electronically if we want to go over that later. The 2023 general plan review carries forward the same themes identified in the 2000 general plan, and then adds environmental justice. Those are economic development, agricultural land use, growth accommodation, urban-centered growth, efficient and functional land use patterns, service efficiency, recreational development, resource protection, health and safety protection, health and well-being, enhanced quality of life, affordable housing, and environmental justice. Our county general plan has 8 elements, 7 of which are affected by this general plan review. They are economic development, agricultural land use, transportation and circulation, public facilities and services, open space and conservation, health and safety, and environmental justice, which is the new element being proposed with the review. The housing element, which was adopted in March of 2016, is currently being updated on a separate track, although it's trailing fairly close to this effort. There's been a public release of the housing element document, so they're going to be processed very, very closely together, but it is on a separate track. Okay, this slide, let's see if I can read the text. Yeah. Following board direction to prepare an environmental impact report, staff work with the county retained consultant to prepare and release the general plan policy document, background report, and draft zoning ordinance in early 2018. So this diagram kind of shows the progression of how we release the documents. So 2018, January, we released those documents. Then in 2019, 2020, a determination was made that we needed to get the SB 244 disadvantaged unincorporated community analysis done as a separate effort. There was a much smaller SB 244 analysis in those release documents in 2018, but staff did an additional analysis and created a significantly larger document. That was taken to the board as a general plan amendment and approved in late 2020. Then following that, in 2021, updated documents, the policy document, revised background report, and the revised zoning ordinance were re-released. The background report then contained that 2020 Senate Bill 244 analysis as an exhibit or appendix A to that document. And then between 2021 and 2023, additional changes were made. A climate vulnerability assessment was prepared based on recommendations from our consultant, discussions with council, discussions internally with the department. We prepared that, updated the environmental justice element based on discussions with the Department of Public Health and the State Attorney General's office, updated the safety element, revised based on that climate vulnerability assessment and input from other agencies, including CAL FIRE, and then made modifications to the zoning ordinance to accommodate some of those environmental justice provisions and improve accessory dwelling unit definitions and made some other modifications to those documents. So that whole package with the draft program environmental impact report was released in April of this year, April 28th, for a 60-day review. Staff's held many public workshops on this matter over the years. Most recently, since 2018, we've participated in or conducted 30 public workshops. Your staff report has a table of those workshops and the locations that they were held. Following the April 2023 release of the documents, we held 7 of those workshops between late May and early June, 1 in each supervisorial district and 2 environmental justice workshops. The EJ workshops, one was held at Cantua Creek at the elementary school, and the other in the community of Malaga at the Malaga Community Center. For the safety element, it was significantly revised from the July 2021 draft. It was based on recommendations from our consultant, the climate vulnerability assessment, as I mentioned, and in consultation with CAL FIRE staff. On May 9th of this year, county staff, the consultant, and CAL FIRE presented the revised safety element to the California Board of Forestry, which is a requirement. It has to be presented 90 days before our board would take action on it. We did that in May, and it was accepted without request for additional changes. So that was a milestone in getting that to the board and having them not have any changes. Our environmental justice element really addresses 4 areas: land use and environment, promoting physical activity and facility access to health and healthy foods, and community participation. This was also greatly revised from the 2021 release. Staff made major revisions to policies and implementation programs. And we coordinated with the Department of Public Health, as I mentioned, the State Attorney General's Office. Some of the key changes included policies regarding location of sensitive land uses, truck routes, community input on development projects, park funding, farmers markets, and engagement of disadvantaged communities and community noticing and outreach. Changes were also made to the economic development, particularly policy EDA-7, which removed texts regarding locating of new industrial sites. We removed references to Kawa and Balaga in that text. We did not mention or single out those particular communities for additional industrial development. The zoning ordinance is undergoing its most comprehensive reformatting since its adoption in the 1960s. In Exhibit 5 of your workshop agenda item shows where key zoning ordinance sections have moved. Individual land use districts and other standards combined into Article 2, while definitions were moved to Article 7, and they were expanded. Special standards and uses were placed in Article 4. That would be where 855 in of our zoning ordinance is now. And some other key additions included objective design standards for multifamily development, commercial industrial warehousing standards, temporary uses, directors determinations, and accessory dwelling units. The program environmental impact report resulted in additional policies, which are mitigation, and those are listed in your agenda item, including, and I have them listed here, everything from OSJ-2 all the way through HS-10, 11, and 12. Despite mitigation, the draft program ER determined that some impacts resulting from adoption of the general plan review would result in significant and unavoidable impacts. Individual land use districts and their standards, again, combined in Article 2, while pull away from that. So the executive summary is attached in Exhibit 6 to your staff report. County's consultant is finishing preparing the final program EIR, and on Exhibit 2 of the workshop report, particularly pages 4 and 5, it lists some of the main policy mitigation. So we can go over that if need be, as far as some of those measures are. Some of them expand upon what was an existing 2000 general plan as far as maybe biological efforts or cultural resources. But again, in key areas, the EIR is still determined that there will be some areas that are significant and unavoidable. And that really concludes my formal presentation. So we can start with discussion. I'm sure you have questions. I know there's some members of the public here at the end after the commission's had opportunity to exhaust their questions, if the chairman wants to take some comments from the public or just that, but this is really here for you, so.
Well, I will plan to take comments from the public, but first I'll ask. Now, this is just a workshop. We're not taking action today.
No action.
We're getting input from commissioners and the public. Is this the place where that we go into specific details about anything, or is this more in general?
We can go into details if there's a specific question. Again, we're not looking at taking any action. So if it's, I don't like this policy or that, okay. Well, that again would come up when we bring the whole item to you. So, you can make the comment, but again, we're not looking at, we're really just wanting to get familiarity with the document. We don't want that level of trying this won't result in us going back and making any changes or doing anything like that. So, I can put up whatever document we want to discuss. And you want to start with, I think we'd start with some basic questions, and then as the details come in, we'll work those in. We have a lot of time, really as much time as you want to take today.
Okay, well, maybe just I'll start with the general question or comment. A lot of these items says the county shall do this, the county shall do that. And I'm assuming that some of that's mandated by the state or other agencies.
Some of it, maybe. That's correct.
Okay. at what point do they talk about funding for those programs?
It depends. If we go to, and maybe I'll just start bringing up the documents and we can talk through some of that. For instance, there's one particular policy, climate vulnerability is, it relates to a climate action plan. And it talks about pursuing funding. But again, that's a process that we have to go through. We don't have that allocated right now. So while we're committed to going through that process, we will need to get funding to do that, but we don't know at what point we'll get that funding. And that'll be a question that you may hear from folks in the public that, you know, would like to see funding for that. Okay. So there are certain things that the county's committing itself to that they didn't in the 2000 general plan, and that would be one example.
Okay. Well, let me ask the rest of the commission if they want to make any comments at this time.
Just a quick question.
Yes.
I noticed the reference or change or request to use environmental justice as a term, and is it defined in some manner? I know I have familiarity with it, but I know it's somewhat of a term of art. I just wasn't sure.
Yeah, we have a definition of it actually in the element itself. So
okay.
There's a fairly lengthy definition. It's a requirement of the state with any new general plans. It's actually been a requirement, I'd say, for over 10 years. Part of it's tied to not just the Senate Bill 244, but also SB 1000 and some other actions to look at different communities that have been historically impacted by their lack of resources, pollution, burden. I mean, we have many EJ communities within this county, quite a lot. So that whole particular element has a definition. If we want to, I can go through that at some point. So that's it.
I was just curious on the 8 workshops that took place. Was there information that came from those that made any kind of changes or affected what we've done here?
Most recently, we've gotten comments, and we're going through those comments, you know, as part of the work, because we released the We had the workshops during the time when we had the period for the comment 60-day comment period. So we received comments. We may make some modifications based on some of those comments that we receive that will affect what you get when we bring it back. It likely is errata when we make we'll have to make some modifications to the document. There's some errors that need to be corrected and things such as that. So if there's, for instance, a policy clarification we need to make or something to the zoning ordinance that through those workshops or comments we received, we'll bring that forward to you.
You have that at a later date. We could see
when we bring it back, and we're targeting October to bring the item next month. Any type of changes from what you've been distributed today, we'll highlight that for you.
Okay, thank you.
One other comment, maybe, or just clarification. When I read this, a lot of it seems to apply more to the urban areas or where there is growth and development, I would think. For example, when you talk about, let me find one here. New residential development and underground utility lines. Is there that much? Are you talking about development like subdivisions in the county, or are you talking about anyone putting in a new house? Is that residential development?
Well, it would be subdivisions. We're looking, you know, if someone's coming with a discretionary land use application, usually for a major subdivision, will require undergrounding. That's actually, you know, part of our improvement standards and what we require today, but we wouldn't require that necessarily for an individual house. But especially in the high fire hazard zones, because of what's occurred in the past few years with wildfires, there's a number of policies and new policies where someone wants to propose a subdivision, there's going to have to be an actual fire, sort of a fire hazard plan that needs to be submitted and reviewed by Cal Fire. And one of those things, such as undergrounding, would likely be required. It would usually be required anyway, but there's an extra focus on that.
And then the cities, individual cities, incorporated cities, they would have their own plan?
That's correct.
Do they pattern it? Are they work with Fresno County to be consistent in areas, or are they just all over?
Well, it depends. The the largest cities, if they're doing a general plan update, they'll provide us a copy and we can comment on it. Sometimes there's coordination. I know the city of Fresno had comments related to our public releases. Some of it was sort of in the vein of environmental justice, and we did make modifications, not necessarily just because of the city's comments, but because of discussions with other agencies. So I wouldn't say that they're a pattern. Each jurisdiction's unique, but there certainly is a level of communication, sharing of the documents. We get comments from them. They get comments from us on their documents.
One other, and
I'm going to take a moment just to get the policy document up, just in case we want to go through anything. So just continue to talk. But.
And Commissioner Yule?
Just one other question related under agriculture and land use, the modifications to key goals, the goal LU-D, which is in relation to Interstate 5. I noticed that it references key interchanges along Interstate 5. Just wondering if, I guess, a better understanding of what those are, but frankly, if any of those have changed. And I know it references to promote agriculture, depending upon water resources, but then also to coordinate development for commercial uses that support interstate traffic. And just didn't know if that has kind of changed over the years, given the
most of that's remained the same. We did update the graphic, which I go back and show you. A lot of times it was a square. We made it a circle, actually, to make it more organic. And we did add some of that information, I think, if you saw the goal about the water resource availability, because that's really key. Most of those interstate commercial, all of them, actually, have some type of private water company. So we wanted to reflect, make sure there's adequate water for development, because sometimes that can be an issue. But there haven't been a lot of changes. Not looking at any new development locations other than ones that were provided. I'm going to try to, and I may work from over here, so if I get up, because I do want to make it dynamic. I don't want to just sit here and it's like bring up stuff on the screen. I want to do that, so just bear with me. So just to kind of give you an idea, it's the same interchanges, but we've provided a sort of a circular pattern on it. But again, most of the goal and policy language has stayed the same, but water availability is key. And I'm going to work from over here just for a little while. So as you have questions, I can kind of go through the document.
Any other questions? One last
sure.
one for me. It talks about under EJAG, discretionary development review application within a disadvantaged community. What's an example of that?
So if we had a proposal for a, let's say, a rezoning that include like for a warehouse, that might be a discretionary type of land use application. So if you're talking, again, EJAG, correct, in notification?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so in that case, actually, any real discretionary development, we would look at providing a notification.
What makes it discretionary?
It
would come before us?
Yeah, it would come before you. It could actually be a director review and approval. So it could be something that could come before you, but it could also be handled at staff level. So if we had in this case, it could be anything from a cell tower to a variance. We already have a mechanism to provide notification in advance. We do that with the DRA process right now. When we receive an application, we'll do a notice of application to residents. So we would need to retool internally how we handle, but in those areas, there would be some type of notice of application that the folks would receive on a discretionary land use application. So they would get it well in advance of when it's actually going either for staff to make a decision or when it's going to this body to make a decision on it.
I was thinking that you do that already. But,
we do, but what we don't do is for instance, if you had a rezoning or conditional use permit that was adjacent to a Malaga or another disadvantaged area, they would receive, typically we notice within 600 feet or a quarter mile, depending on the density. The state law only requires 300 feet. But in those cases, we would do one public notice 10 days before the hearing. So this gives an earlier public notice, really by the time we've accepted the application and are processing it, we would let folks know well early in advance before there's even a public hearing, so they get two notices.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Let me ask one more time, any questions or comments from the commission?
Chair?
Yes, sir.
Is there a timetable for adoption?
Certainly, I can. So at this point, we would like to get this item to the commission next month for consideration and then target the board as early as November. Really right now, we're waiting on finishing the final EIR, and that's in the works right now in the response to comments. Working on that, so that's our target date. Like I said, we will have some minor modifications, a little bit of cleanup, some corrections that were noted to staff that we need to make either in the exhibits or some of the documents, and we'll bring that forward as errata. But that's our goal. That's our target.
I noticed that there were a number of comments from different people or agencies. And often, the how and where it was addressed, the comment would be, it does not pertain to the scope and contents of the IR, or it pertains to the general plan. You're not dismissing it, as you're just saying that that's really nothing to do with the EIR.
With the EIR, that's correct. But now, we will also have a at least some level of response to the general plan comments when we bring the item forward. We've gotten a lot of comments. I mean, that there's some comments that may be very, we either simply can't do, or we'll provide some level of response to those as well. But they're separate from what pertains directly to the EIR. So you may get a comment that simply should fund this in this area, and it doesn't tie directly to an environmental issue, at least in the county's point of view. The commenter may feel differently, but that's, the county doesn't believe it does. So it wouldn't be responded to in the EIR, but staff can certainly provide at least some level of comment. Again, there's a lot of comments. I'm sure that there will be some individuals or groups that may, think the comment's inadequate, but we're really only mandated to respond to the EIR comments, but realizing that there's policy comments that you're going to hear, we want to also give some level of response and direction to the commission on how we're going to handle that.
So as we open this up to the public, they're invited to speak on anything with regards to this report or general plan or the zoning ordinance, or are we limiting them, asking them to limit it to something specific?
I mean, they can speak. It's really up to, they can speak on whatever they'd like. We've had a comment period, so we've gotten comments, and there'll be an opportunity for them to provide additional, if they have one, to provide comments at the when we take the item for decision, they can do that. And that wasn't really the intent today, to either distribute or respond to comments today, but anybody from the public can make a comment. We've covered a pretty short period of time, so again, I want to take this is really first and foremost the commission's opportunity. So if you have questions, I'm over here because I want to get into the documents if you have questions about it. So if there's something you want to talk about, let's do that before we open it to the public. The public will, and of course, have time to talk today, but they can also have opportunities when we bring the item back as well. But again, that's the will of the commission. If you,
Commissioner Wolf.
I'm curious about the EIR timing, because I'm just wondering if a lot happens after the EIR report comes out.
Really?
Isn't that going to trigger an awful lot of discussion when the report finally shows up?
It already did, though, because we released the draft EIR in April. So that's the draft program EIR is really the big document. The final EIR is response to comments. There may be some minor modifications either based on those comments, but the bulk of the environmental document was released. So that's been out. That was what that 60-day review period is for. And we've gotten over 30 comments on the document itself that the commission's going to receive. They're going to be bracketed, and and there'll be a response to the comments related to the EIR, and there'll also be discussion separately in another part of the agenda item regarding the general plan comments. But that is the bulk of it, was what we would be given to you yet.
So we're not seeing
Seeing those yet.
We're not seeing what's happened as a result of those comments?
No, and you'll see that when we bring the item back. But again, at this point, if there's going to be, it'll likely be some minor modifications, like I said, errata or some corrections. And we'll highlight those when we provide it to you. But the document has generated comments. And at the public workshops we've had, we've gotten comments. We've collected all those. Consultant has that. They're going through that. Staff's going through that right now.
Okay, but in terms of timing, when the final one comes out with those revisions, there will still be time after that?
Well, that's really it'll be at that point, it's a time for the Planning Commission to make a recommendation to the board on the item. So the public can still show up at the meetings and make comments on the timing period for the 60-day really is if you want to get comments that in so that the consultant can bracket it and then respond in the EIR document. That's why we had the deadline. But folks can show up at the when we have the hearing and make additional comments. They'll likely do that at the board as well. So there's opportunities for them to talk independent of the EIR. But the comment period for the EIR is really so that we have a deadline so that we can close it, respond to those comments, and then move on and bring it to the decision makers for decision.
Okay. Any other comments up here?
Mr. Chair, I just had a quick question. So, and thank you, Chris, for your presentation. It sounds like that they're under the California General Plan guidelines, they kind of give two lanes for counties to integrate environmental justice into the general plan, either through a standalone element or by integrating it. Is there a reason why the county decided to choose the standalone element approach rather than integrating it throughout the other mandatory elements?
Actually, we did both, but we do have a standalone element because we wanted particular policies to address environmental justice. And if you look in the EJ element, there's also a listing. And I don't know take me probably longer to find it than to explain it. But in the element itself, at the beginning, there's also a reference to other policies that are EJ related. I'm trying to get there if I can. Missed my spot there. Anyway, there are a number of policies, not just EJ policies, that also tie into environmental justice, especially in the health and safety element. So there's a cross reference there. That, and if I get a chance to find those, I'll try to bring that up on the screen. But I thought it was in the EJ itself. So we did do a standalone because we thought it was important. We realized there's a number of disadvantaged communities in the county, but those aren't all the policies that also have implications in those communities. There's other ones as well, especially in health and safety.
Thank you.
Okay, any other comments? This time, I'll open it up to the public, ask them if anyone would like to come forward. Please state your name and address, if you would, for the record. See where we go from there.
Hello?
Yes.
Good morning. My name is Mariana Alvarenga, and I'm a policy advocate at Leadership Council for Justice and Accountability. We work with residents in Cantua Creek, El Porvenir, Lanier, and Tombstone Territory on land use, transportation, climate, air quality, water, energy, and housing issues. Residents from these four communities have been involved in the general plan update process through workshop participation and comment letters. We are encouraged to see the county undergo the long overdue task of updating policies and programs in the general plan. We want to ensure the needs of county residents are included in this process and have highlighted inequities in the general plan in a comment letter we submitted this year. I want to highlight some of these and the ways that the county can present a stronger general plan. The county fails to identify all water, wastewater, stormwater drainage, and fire protection deficiencies in disadvantaged communities through the SB 244 analysis. It is important that the county identify these deficiencies to be able to seek funding sources to address and respond to community needs, especially in communities that have historically been overlooked and underfunded. With the addition of the environmental justice element, the county has the opportunity to address long-lasting environmental issues. We ask the county to create policies that do not overburden existing communities already exposed to pollution from agriculture and industrial development, create green spaces for residents to partake in physical activity, invest in community resilience centers to be able to address climate change impacts. Agriculture and land use policies need to prioritize human health, and truck reroutes must reroute heavy-duty trucks and industrial traffic away from disadvantaged communities. In the current proposed policies, the policies do the opposite, and they overlook communities that are currently being impacted by agriculture and land use policies. It is imperative that the county take a proactive approach rather than reactive and not wait to respond to community needs. Community feedback needs to be taken into consideration and incorporated into the proposed general plan and zoning ordinance updates. I also emailed the comment letter that we submitted, so I encourage all of you to really read that letter and really look into our comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker. Yes. That'd be appropriate if you're able to do that.
I can give some basic feedback. I just want to avoid too much back and forth, but we have the comments from Leadership Council, and actually those comment letters will be shared with you when we bring the final EIR back, because there will be bracketed comments. You don't have them at this point in time, but you will receive them. So we are aware of their concerns, especially regarding infrastructure, and we also appreciate their comments on our SB 244 analysis and how we looked at many of those disadvantaged communities. We'll be in a better position to respond to some of those when we bring that back for decision. But we are aware. So we understand that there's concerns about infrastructure or lack of infrastructure in those communities. And there are issues with funding for trying to get, why we certainly actively pursue funding for especially improving water and sewer systems where they exist today. There's always more need than there is funding available. And their concerns certainly are heard. We understand that. But again, some of it's simply an issue of resources.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Reap.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. My name is Radley Reap, and I reside at 557 West Escalon in Clovis. I was listening today, and I realized that there were a couple of questions asked about the EIR and being able to take a look at comments from the public and the response to those by the county, and also the question of funding, whether or not there was adequate funding to actually implement the general plan. Two things. Just recently, your staff uploaded to the county's website all the comments received by the county from the public on the draft EIR. And so if you'd like to know right now what the public is saying about that, you can go to the county's website and check those out. Those are very enlightening comments, and it will really help you understand what the public is thinking about right now. Secondly, in regard to funding, one of the problems that the county's had with its current general plan is the inability to implement it. And the county has said for many, many years that the problem is lack of funding. That, of course, is the responsibility of the Board of Supervisors to provide the funding necessary to do that. But here's the problem. If you put a document out there that says we're going to do X, Y, and Z, and then you do an environmental assessment of it, the people who are preparing the environmental assessment are going to assume that all those things are going to be done. But if you don't have money, and you know you don't have the money to implement it, then what's actually implemented will not be the plan that's on paper. So the environmental assessment will have looked at the wrong plan. not the one that's actually being implemented, but the one that looks like it might be implemented. The funding problem is so serious that I and others have asked that there be a funding analysis included with this to show whether or not the plan can be implemented, and the county has said it will not do that. I'd like to remind you that the county did do that back in 2000 when they had the 2000 general plan brought up. And that particular fiscal analysis said it was going to be a close call whether you had enough money. But because of unforeseen economic conditions in the United States and because of the lack of implementation of certain policies, that funding never came through. So you need to go back and ask staff to prepare another funding analysis to make sure that this general plan as revised will actually work. Otherwise, it's kind of useless. Now, the real reason I came to talk to you today, and that is I'd like to know, and this may sound like a silly question, but what is the county going to call this general plan once it's adopted by the board? Is it going to be called the 2000 general plan, the 2023 general plan, or the 2042 general plan? Can someone please let me know?
I don't have the answer for that, Radley. Let's see if staff can.
It's extending the planning horizons. It'll be 2042 general plan.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Chris.
2042 general plan. It's extending the planning horizon.
That's what I had heard. It was going to be called the 2042 general plan, and I thought I would bring something to your attention.
2042? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
It's because it's extending the planning horizon 20 years. So we have a 2000, and we're going to move it to, we're in 2023, but we're going to extend it to 2042.
Okay, the reason I brought that up is because I'd like to explain the history here real briefly. We now have the 2000 general plan. It was updated in that year, and before that, we had the 1976 general plan. And I have looked at all those general plans very carefully, and here's what happened. In 1976, the county updated the general plan, and it named it the 1976 general plan because that was the year it was adopted. And it gave it a 20-year planning horizon, actually up to 1959. Then the year after, 1995. Okay. And the year after 1995, which was 1996, the county began again to update the general plan because the planning horizon had run out on the 1976 plan. It took 4 years to update the plan, and it was successfully done in 2000. And so the county called that plan the 2000 general plan and gave it another 20 years to the year 2020. But when 2020 came along in 2021, the county did not initiate a process to update the general plan again. It said, rather than do that, we'll take the existing plan we've got, the 2000, which goes to 2020, and extend it out to 2042. So I'm assuming that we're still under the 2020 general plan. And I'm a little puzzled why we're changing the name of the plan to suggest something entirely different. So my question is, once this is approved by the board, is this still going to be the update from 2020? And if it's not, and if it, well, first of all, I need to know that. And then once I find that out, I'll ask you when it's going to be updated. So is the county going to say from now on that we still have the 2020 update? That's the question.
So, good morning, Commission. Bernard Jimenez, Department of Public Works and Planning. So just to clarify, there is really, our general plan is called our general plan policy document. There is no number assigned to it. There has been references in terms of the date it was updated in 2000. This will continue to be our Fresno County general plan. It will have a planning horizon of 2042, as Chris indicated. And we will update it when it becomes necessary. That may be, a lot of it is dictated by state law that gets passed throughout the years, and that's what this general plan reflects. So I don't want you all to get caught up on a number. It's a general plan. We have an associated EIR with it. And in terms of update, we'll look forward to that. It'll be at least 10 years before the county thinks about updating this current effort.
Thank you. Okay, so as I understand it, this is still going to be called the 2020 general plan. The 2000.
It's a general plan. It's not a number. So it's our Fresno County general plan. The number that you're assigning to it is associated with the planning horizon. It will now have a new planning horizon, but it's still called the Fresno County General Plan.
Okay, I appreciate that. It's always called the Fresno County General Plan. Okay, but the year that will go with it, because the state's going to ask you every once in a while, it does. It says, by the way, we see that you haven't updated your general plan since this date. When are you going to do it? And as long as the county continues to report to the state that it last updated it in 2000, I have no problem with that. I just want to make sure that they're not going to, the county's not going to claim that it actually updated the plan in 2023.
Every jurisdiction can revise, update. So what we're doing here, just so it's very clear, this process is a general plan amendment. The county has assigned an application number to it, and general plans are updated via general plan amendment applications. And that's what we're doing here. So I know there's going to be a lot of terms thrown out there, updates, process, review, but the bottom line, under the law, this is a general plan amendment, and that's what we're doing.
All righty, then I would like to suggest that the county's waiting too long to update its general plan. If the last update was in 2000, it's now 2023. They won't start the process for 10 years. That's 2033. And it'll take 4 years, so that brings us up to 2037, which means that the general plan will be 37 years old by the time that it's updated again. That is way beyond what should be done, because things change. Climate change comes along. Entire forests burn down. Groundwater disappears to zero. These are important decisions that need to be incorporated into the general plan. You need to hear from the public about those things. But there's been no invitation to do that because you're not updating the general plan. Until it's updated, the public will not be weighing in on things that should be changed for the county to improve it. So I'd like you to think about that, and perhaps we could do something to turn this into an update. That would be probably the best thing to do. And so whatever would need to be done to get that done, that would be great. Okay, I think that covers it, except for, oh yes, one little tiny item very quickly here. And that is the current EIR that's being prepared. I read in there what it was for and what it was looking at. And what I noticed was that the EIR that's being prepared said that it's being prepared to look at the revisions that are being made to the current general plan. And I'm wondering then, if the new EIR looks only at the revisions, then what EIR is going to look at the rest of the general plan? I'm assuming that's the EIR that was done in 2000. In which case you'll need to merge the two EIRs together to see how in combination they come to some sort of a conclusion about what the effect of this plan is going to be going forward. Any questions from me? Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Commissioner Wolf has a question for staff.
Mr. Jimenez and Chris. But I feel like we are updating this, and why doesn't it say updated, like you said, 2023? If we are going through a review right now, why doesn't it actually say that it's updated to this current time? I mean, why does it reflect something like 2000 or 2042. I'm not quite sure what that's about.
Yeah,
can't that be our county's way of moving forward or looking like we're moving forward?
Well, we are moving forward. I want to be very clear. You know, the speaker talked about merging two EIRs. It's totally inaccurate in terms of what this process entails. At the end of the day, once the board, at some point, the board will approve this process that we're under, this general plan amendment, and will certify the environmental impact report. That is the county's general plan, and it will be current. That's the whole intent of this process, is to bring it current to laws that have passed over the last several years. And it does reflect today's environment. It does assess the full build out of our general plan. So there is an analysis in our EIR that looks out the full build out to the year 2042 of this general plan. So it's not accurate to say that we're bifurcating or we're relying on a 2020 document. It will be a fresh general plan. At the end of the day, this is a general plan amendment. And I think that's what we need to focus on, is what is the entitlement that this commission is considering? So speakers can refer to it as an update. We refer to it as a review. At the end of the day, it's going to reflect current state law. And then it will have implementation programs that where we will then implement the general plan.
Yes.
Commissioner Hillman's question.
Yes. I noticed with it does reflect what you've said within the policy, with the policy book and the ordinance book. It says here that it's a zoning ordinance update, public review draft. April 2023, but that's basically saying it's a review draft. So you're going to put everything together, bring it back to, this is why we're having this conversation now, then you will bring back to us any of the updates, the ones that you had corrected, but right now this is a review.
Yes.
Of what you've already done, and you've updated it.
Correct.
And so that stands that it's.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
We're doing what you said we were going to do as a policy update.
Yes,
and review, and that's in the policy and the general plan as well.
That is correct, and there's also revisions to our background document that serve as the basis and mm-hmm. basically the environmental baseline for the EIR as well. So it is comprehensive in its approach. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to leave the commission here thinking that there's something lacking with this process. Once we get through it, we will have a current general plan and EIR. That will be the basis for your commission's decisions going forward, as well as our Board of Supervisors.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to commend both of you, or Chris, for putting all this together. This is detailed, a long detail outlay in both of these. So I commend you and your staff for putting this together for us.
Thank you. And I will say that the engagement of the public has been a key focus. Mm-hmm. It's been a board directive. The number of years ago, as we were navigating through this process, there was a request by the public for more engagement. Our board mm-hmm. heard that, and we have done quite a bit of outreach. Chris and the whole team has done that, and I think somebody had asked a question about, you know, does this plan reflect in community input? Absolutely, it does, mm-hmm. and I know. We had the most recent engagements after the release of the document, but there were dozens of meetings that led up to that release. And so a number of the comments received are reflected in that. You know, it's going to come down to how reflected are they. I can tell you right now that you're going to hear comments that it doesn't reflect adequately enough those inputs. But we heard it. We're working with multiple agencies. We have worked with the Attorney General's office to help craft this general plan. So it reflects all of that collective input.
Mm-hmm. You have a very extensive listing in the back of this.
Yes.
That what you've already
yes.
done.
Yes. And I would also like to express that this represents a really significant step for Fresno County mm-hmm. In terms of addressing state law, the whole environmental justice element. I think what it represents, at least from our perspective, is the priority that this county is placing on those types of issues. Not that we hadn't in the past, but it really allows the public to see the county's commitment to that. And it's a significant step towards addressing a number of those issues that exist today. Your commission may recall when we brought the last general plan annual report, we included for the first time how much resources in terms of funding that this county has received into those communities. Cantu Creek Alpor Vanir right now is in the process of receiving an upgraded water system along with state funding that represents over $20 million investment in that community. We recently received a $4 million grant for sidewalks in Del Rey. We received, I think, another $2 million grant for that same community out Port Vanier, Cantillo Creek, to look at street improvements. So that's been the focus of this department, is to look at, these are our communities. The 10 unincorporated communities, I believe all of them are disadvantaged. So all of our efforts in terms of infrastructure improvements are directly, those communities are directly benefiting for those efforts.
I have no other comments right now. We'll ask if there are any other speakers.
Good morning. I'm Susan Buckley. My address is 10942 East Promontory Way in Clovis. My apologies for coming before you in my Rotary of Reedley shirt, but that's the other hat that I will put on shortly after. But I'm coming to you today as the president of the Kings River Conservancy. And Mark, thank you for our comments. Our letter will be included in the documents you'll be seeing. We want to offer concern and help that as you move toward the environmental report, from both an environmental justice perspective and a land use impacting agricultural lands, converting to developed land, that we offer help and voice in that regard. We've seen what the mighty Kings River has been able to do to many people and flooding Tulare Lake this year. So as you move into your careful consideration of development that would involve the Kings River, please let us help you and have that conservative eye toward the impact that the river will have and that what we need to do to protect what the river has done and will do. Mm-hmm. So just reach to us as a resource. And Mark, thank you so much for your support. I hope my comments have been useful.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah.
Any other speakers?
Good morning. My name is Luke Kokstra. I'm the executive director of El Rio Reyes Conservation Trust. I just wanted to echo Susan's statement that our organization would also like to be involved in any public comment input, planning process.
Could you state the organization again? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry?
Could you state the organization again?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a long name. El Rio Reyes Conservation Trust.
And your name again?
My name is Luke Hoekstra. Okay. And I'm the executive director of the organization. And I forgot to mention my address. I live at 3828 Trenton Lane in Clovis. I recently joined the organization as its executive director, so I'm new to this process and didn't have a chance to engage in the public comment period. So for that reason, I ask that as we go forward, we'll be more engaged in looking at the environmental impact report, and I recognize that there is a public comment period that's appropriate to be commenting on that, but I ask for maybe some level of exception to, or would encourage or request that we have an opportunity to be continued to be engaged and involved in the process so that the considerations of our organization are also factored in to the general plan update. I also wanted to say that I'm really encouraged to see that there's a mitigation measure requirement for discretionary land use projects, which are proposed to convert 40 acres of prime farmland to mitigate for farmland loss. That's a key element for our organization as we are involved in trying to purchase conservation easements for agricultural purposes. So we look forward to being engaged with the county in that process for future land use development projects. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next speaker. Do we have anyone else that wishes to come up for this item? Okay, with that being the case, I'll ask the commission if they have any additional comments or questions. I think staff is well aware of the public's input so far, and they'll take into consideration what they heard today.
Can I have a comment?
Sure.
I'm just wondering out there, Susan, Luke, do you feel like the county is listening? If you've made presentations, do you feel like they are responding to your... I'm just wondering, is this working so far?
Yes, I perceive that we are being heard in an elemental way. We are watching carefully to hope that something would not step forward in a developmental nature that perhaps you simply would not have had a chance to know the ultimate ramifications long term. So I feel that we're being offered the chance to have a voice, and of course I'm here to support that. I did notice in the and Mark, help me here if I'm speaking incorrectly, but did I see something in the document that said that you were going to no longer have to review this every 5 years? Did I see a deletion? Is that even a word?
Talking to Chris?
That's correct. We're removing the five-year review of the general plan. We are going to, as we continue to provide annual reports timely to the commission now, if certain policies or if something comes up that needs to be changed from time to time, we can just address those individually rather than doing a comprehensive five-year review. Tying us to that based on either funding cycles or economy wasn't as successful as we'd like to see it, so we want to not pin us down to that 5 years. So, again, the annual reports are what we're going to be to communicate to the decision makers on that.
So that might cause some concern that, okay, well, now we're not even going to have to look at it regularly. We can push it down to 2042, but I may be misinterpreting that. And I'll add, that we don't have unintended consequences. Tribal lands are impacted. Disadvantaged populations are impacted when we put forward developments. So again, thank you so much for listening to me.
Thank you.
And if I could just supplement Chris's comments, it's certainly not our intent to get out of an obligation. I think what we're doing, what Chris is communicating, is that rather than say, we're not gonna look at anything for 5 years, we're doing it annually now. Mm-hmm. And if you're tracking state legislation, there's probably a dozen new state laws that are coming down the pike that we'll have to address in our general plan next year. So this is no longer you adopt and then you sit back for 5 years and then you think about it again. Annually, we're going to be coming to your board with revisions, likely amendments to our zoning ordinance as it relates to housing, and the state basically stepping in on the local jurisdictions to try to facilitate housing. So you're going to see a lot of activity, and that's what this effort represents.
Thank you very much. I think there's no action that we're taking. We held the public meeting and workshop, and I don't believe we have any more business to be heard on this item. So, again, thank you, and thank you to staff and everyone for participating. On the next item, Dave had mentioned that there is no information or discussion for item number 3, so this would conclude our meeting for today.
Correct, and I have nothing to add for that. So.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Can I move to adjourn the meeting, please?
Yes. Okay, we're adjourned.